One. How is everyone this morning? Y'all look so great. Getting that sun glow on already? Nice. Or the red. For me, anyways. It's been a long time since I've been up here, actually. And so I'm seeing new faces in the audience. And I'm really thankful that God has brought you to Trinity and to this family. You are so welcome here. And like Bruce said, my name is Marianne, for those of you who don't know me, and I work with an inner city kids and youth ministry called Living Bible Explorers, as he said. And today I just want to share a little bit about what God's put on my heart, but also a little ministry update as well. So, I'm truly thankful to be a part of this beautiful church family. For all the ways that you guys have supported me through the past 6.5 years with financial support, with prayer support, and just being my people. I truly love this church, and I truly love the church family. And I'm so thankful to be a part of Trinity. It's been another busy week in ministry, as we had 2 events this week, as well as we're getting ready for summer camp. It is launching point. Tomorrow we take off. And so, as you know, it's a very busy season. And now with our old general manager gone out of his position, I took on the responsibility of shopping and organizing all the food for the next 7 weeks of camp. Yeah. I was like, how did George do all this? But I tell you, my Mennonite instincts come in really good because I find good deals. Even if I have to go through the line 3 times to get my deal, I will. So, and another thing, this week I went to Costco and I got 20 bags of pancake mix and 7 huge jugs of syrup. And I was like, I've never bought this quantity before. The cashier asked me if I was starting a breakfast club. I was like, no, we're just getting ready for camp, feeding like 600 people. But so it's been a really busy week, as you can tell. And so I didn't have much time to prepare this message, so I thought I would just share from my heart today. I hope that's okay with you. So this week I've been thinking about the sovereignty of God. First, I want to say how thankful I am for Jesus. He is so worthy, he is so faithful, and he is constant. Isn't it so reassuring to think that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He is never weary, he is never anxious, and he's always reliable. It brings such comfort to my heart to think of how steadfast he is. In Psalms 90, verse 2, it says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to the end, you are God. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 6, verse 19-20. And this says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest forever. And the other translation that I read earlier, it said that Jesus intercedes for us continuously. If there is anything we can say about God, it is that he is steadfast, and he is the steadfast anchor for our soul. We have confidence to enter into the throne room of heaven because of our high priest, Jesus Christ, who abides there and intercedes for us every time we need him. Just one drink of Jesus and we'll never thirst again. We drink him in. Oh, what a friend we've found in Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are constant in our ever-changing world. Thank you that you are truth and that your promises are reliable. Thank you that you are faithful and that we can depend on you. We can depend on your steadfast presence and your reassuring peace. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would direct my words and that you would speak to their hearts today. And that you would continue to walk with everyone in this congregation and reminding them that your steadfast love endures forever and you are with them in every mountain, in every trial, in every joy, that you are constant with them. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful that our confidence doesn't rely on ourselves, that we can have confidence in Jesus. Now, there's a lot of uncertainties. This past year, I've faced a lot of uncertainties and changes. Yet, his presence has been with me. At times, it is me that wanders away from his presence and becomes more focused on the world rather than on God. Yet, he is faithful in drawing my heart back to him. It is so reassuring that in uncertainties, we can truly trust God, that no matter what we face in life, God is good. I've watched some of you in the past go through really hard times of suffering and face very difficult situations without knowing the outcome. Yet your faith in God has remained steadfast. You trust in God's goodness, and that has not wavered. I'm inspired by you, and you have encouraged this body more than you realize. For example, I want to say thank you to Esther for your faithful walk with God in your journey through widowhood. And Paula and Kenny, who have demonstrated such faith with their walk through Paula's health struggles. As well as Brad and Michelle walking through the loss of a very dear family member. With such hope in God and not questioning God's faithfulness. And many more of you have been such examples of relying on God's steadfastness. Kenny did instruct me to keep this message encouraging and light, so sorry, it's not really going that direction. But I guess I'm just so encouraged by the way this family walks with God and with each other. And it's such a privilege to be a part of this family because I know I have felt your support when I've walked through some hard trials as well. I have a new summer staff under my supervision, who is actually here. And recently I told her that if she really wanted to gain the trust and the love of the youth that we work with, that she needs to be real with them. These kids, they know pretend, they know fake. But if she's willing to be honest and vulnerable with them, then they will be honest and vulnerable with her in return. When they trust her, then and only then will she have the authority to speak into their lives. And something that's kind of a running joke at LBE at times, and it happened this Friday again, just to prove the point, but sometimes when our newer staff are taking charge and emceeing and directing, the kids tend to be talking over them. And I don't know why, but I come up and I lay down the law and it's silent. And they're like, Marianne, how can you do that? Why do they listen to you? It's not that I have any special power, trust me. But it's because I've invested years into getting to know these kids. I've known some of those kids that we had at our function on Friday since they were in grade one. And they're now grade five, grade six, grade seven, grade eight. So it comes with relationship. And like I said, the more vulnerable you are, the more real you are, they trust you. And then you have authority. Theodore Roosevelt has this saying. He says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's really true. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it said, Peter said, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I like how the Amplified Version says it. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's so beautiful. And in Psalms 55, verse 2, the Amplified Version again says, cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistent righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. I love how many times we hear our pastors being vulnerable up here. As they've become more real to us, it breaks the illusions of pastors being perfect and gives us permission to be real with each other. But even better than that, we can be so real with God, releasing our weight and casting our burdens and anxieties onto the Lord, and knowing that our worries, our ugliness, our anxiety, and even our sin, it doesn't shake him. But rather, he will sustain us. What does it mean to sustain someone? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means to support, to hold, or bear up from below, and bear the weight of. So let us not forget that God is faithful and true and mighty to save. And he is a good, good God, no matter what. God's faithfulness really hit home for me this winter. As many of you know, I found myself in the ER in December. Of course, the day of our final program before Christmas, and I had organized a Christmas countdown every day until Christmas, and this was the final one, and it was come dress in as much green and red as humanly possible. I had my outfit decked out to the nines. I mean, I was so sparkly red and green. It looked like green and red threw up on me. But anyways, that morning, I thought, you know what? I was having some heart palpitations, some weird things going on. I'm like, I'll just go to the ER, get it checked out, and then I'll be on my way to my awesome red and green Christmas event with the kids. But little did I know that what I expected to be a two-hour visit turned into a two-week visit in the hospital. And in those 2 weeks, I ended up going through multiple tests and two surgeries. And my heart stopped many times, between 4 to 6 seconds at a time, the worst being 8.2 seconds long. So, and my resting heart rate had dropped to 20 to 40 beats per minute. That was the norm, my new norm. So due to this rapid drop in my heart rate, they ended up putting me on bed rest. Now for a person like me, bed rest is not fun. I like to go and I'm constantly on the go. So I was like, what is this? They wouldn't even allow me to walk to the bathroom by myself. I had to use a commode, and that was gross. But through all the uncertainties of what was happening with my heart and the many changes that the doctors gave me, because one day they said, now you start fasting because you're going for surgery this afternoon. Just kidding, an emergency came up, you can eat now. Okay, fast tomorrow, we're gonna do the surgery today. We're not gonna do it. So it was a lot of uncertainties, even in the hospital. I was like, these doctors don't communicate with each other because they kept giving me different messages. But through all the uncertainties, I knew that God was totally in control and that Jesus was with me in it all. He was sustaining my heart and gave me unexplainable peace. Because the Prince of Peace abides in me, I had total peace. When I was transferred to the special intensive unit ward, my aunt said to me that, Mary, I don't think you realize the seriousness of your situation. Because at that point, my heart was stopping very regularly. And they had put those shocky pads on me, you know. They did shock my heart twice. That is not a good feeling. But anyways, she was very concerned because I seemed like I wasn't taking this serious. And I said, no, I understand this is a serious situation. I mean, I can read the heart monitors. Yeah, my heart keeps stopping. I realize this is serious. But you know what? I have total peace. I have no fear because I know that God is with me. And it says, the word says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And I had so many people praying for me that I felt God's supernatural peace with me. I felt His peace and His love just wrapped around me, like I had nothing to fear. And this was probably one of the first times I felt how real this peace of God is. It was like I didn't have to worry in the midst of the storm. God had it. And this reminds me of the story when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples sleeping while there was a great storm. So if you want to turn with me to Mark 4. Verse 35-41. And I've been kind of on an amplified version kick, so I'm going to read it on that one again. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And leaving the throng, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. And a furious storm, a storm of wind of hurricane proportions, that would be a little scary, arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. And they awoke him and said, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still, muzzled." And the wind ceased, sank to the breast as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. He said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust?" And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's normal to feel afraid, but as Christians, We can't live a life that's guided by fear. For example, when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, they were in a storm, and they didn't wake him up out of faith, but out of fear. And that made Jesus angry because they did not realize God's power over everything on earth. And that the same power that was in him, the same power was in them to speak the word of God and make the sea calm. I mean, did you guys hear that that song? I forget who sings it, but it says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. When we really take a hold of that, that the power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us, then the world should be afraid of us. And we should not be afraid of the world or of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. The same power was in them to speak the word of God and make the sea calm down. You have authority. You have authority as believers in Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who is the Prince of Peace lives in me, and so I could operate in that same peace. I did not have to live in the anxiety of those around me. I mean, my sisters were a little bit afraid and they kept crying, and I was like, get over it, I'm fine. I didn't allow the anxiety of the world and those around me and the chaos of the ER to get to me, because the Prince of Peace abides in me, and everything that he is who we are. We don't have to live as the world, because we have the reassurance that God is with us in all things, and he is always steadfast. What a promise. As I told you, this year has been one with a lot of uncertainties and changes, both in ministry and my personal life, as you've got a small snapshot of my health journey. P.S., just so you know, the surgery was successful. I did get a pacemaker in my groin, so I'm a little extra, because they couldn't use the normal spot right here, because when I was young, I had a different surgery, open heart surgery, that rerouted all my veins, so they had to go through my groin. And the surgeon said, I've only done 14 of these in my whole career. I'm like, that's why you had to do it twice. Kind of sucked, but they apparently did not order a long enough wire from my groin to my heart chamber, so they had to cut me 5 days after they cut it open and did it. So I was like, next time, get the right parts before you open me up. I am not a car. But praise God, my pacemaker is working, and I'm so thankful. I actually just had an appointment 2 weeks ago, and they said, your pacemaker is pacing 99.7% of the time. I said, what would happen if I didn't have a pacemaker? She's like, oh, you would be blacking out all the time. I was like, okay. So praise God we live in Canada where I got a free pacemaker. Amen, that's for sure. So yeah, I am so thankful. But the other uncertainties in ministry was this year, our general manager of LBE stepped down. After over 25 years of serving, he resigned from his position as general manager. And with that brought a lot of uncertainties, because they hired somebody and then that fell through. And then we were without a GM and we were like, what is happening? And then God brought a GM for an interim period, Rob Massey. And he's been the perfect fit for this season. And I'm so grateful that God brought him, because there's been a lot of changes at LBE, and he's been the right guy to walk us through that. But once again, we have change, because they just hired the new full-time general manager. And he starts this Monday. And his name is Curtis Clausen. So please remember us in prayer, as this is going to be a big change again. But I'm really excited to see that the way God is directing LBE and the places he's taking it. I do feel that there is a new season coming our way. And I'm really excited to see what God is doing. Because even just in the RISE program that I direct, which is our grade 5 to grade 8 youth, and I have to say that there are some people from this church who have been committed volunteers this year. Shout out to Kyle and Ashley and Kayla, and Kenny and Paula came and spoke. So I'm so excited to see how Trinity is getting involved in the inner city. And this year was very successful. We had close to 90 to 120 kids every Friday. I have to say this is one of the biggest middle year youths out there. So we definitely need the help. But God was so good to us, and I saw a lot of growth in the kids and kids operating in the spirit and kids operating in their gifting. I mean, a grade 8 boy prayed for a bunch of kids and God healed them. And what a great testimony for them to witness. But we are heading into a very busy hands-on season of camp. And I would like you to ask for your prayer for our summer staff and for the kids and for the youth to encounter the heart of God and to be transformed by his love this summer. Camp is a really special time. I mean, if you all went to camp, you know the memories that form at camp. But it's also a very busy time, and so we just need God's protection and faithfulness. As I said, I know that he is faithful and he is steadfast and he's going to provide for all our needs, and he is. And if there's a way that you want to be involved with summer camps, we are short on desserts. This is a little plug. If you love baking and you have extra time, feel free to bake for 60 people at a time and bring it our way. That would be fantastic. One more exciting change that I'm excited to announce is that I have been released by the board of LBE to take a 5-month sabbatical from ministry. As I am in my 8th year of full-time ministry at LBE, I am so thankful for this time of rest and this time to focus on my intimacy with the Lord and just be with him instead of do things for him. I'm also excited for the new adventures that he's going to allow me to go on. And it's funny, but the inner city has become my comfort zone. So I'm excited for him to push me out of my comfort zones. I'm not totally sure what this sabbatical is going to look like. There's still uncertainty, but I know that God will direct my steps. And I'm so excited for this time. And I do ask for your prayers, and if you're interested in financially supporting me, LBE is going to lower my salary during this time. So I am looking for a few new supporters just to bridge the gap. But I'm really thankful that I get to have a sabbatical. I know that it is a huge honor and a huge privilege. And I also have a few new uncertainties with my health. The pacemaker didn't fix all the problems that they had hoped it would. So my cardiologist has just detected that my tricuspid valve is leaking, which is causing a lot of other problems with swelling and tiredness, short of breath, discoloration, things like that. So they are putting me through a few more tests, but they will probably They do say that I'll have open heart surgery in the next 6 to 8 months. But once again, I am not worried because God has faithfully seen me to this point. I mean, I'm 32 with a heart condition that is very rare. 1 out of 10,000 kids get it, and I'm still alive and I'm still going. And if God's not done with me yet, He will sustain this ticker of mine. He's healed me before, and if He wants to heal me, I totally believe He will. I mean, I would really be thankful if He did, because number 5 is going to be a lot. But if He doesn't, then I know that He's going to be with me in the surgery and continue to sustain this heart. So I would appreciate your prayers as well in this. But in all to say that in ministry and my personal life, I'm so thankful. And at Trinity, I've seen the steadfast love of God in all of you. And if there's ever times you worry that the mountain seems too high, or the trial seems too large, or the suffering is too great, remember that He is faithful, and He has brought you through in the past, and He will bring you through again. And that's why it's so important to look behind us to see where we have come from for when we're going ahead. The Israelites continuously reminded their children of what God had done for their ancestors before them. That He parted the Red Sea, that He was faithful in providing manna, He was faithful in warring off the giants. And they had to constantly remind them so they could continue to face the new mountains in front of them and remember how good God was. And how good He is, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me just pray for you. Lord, I thank You so much that You are constant. I thank You for how You take us through our sufferings and our trials, and how You never leave or forsake us. And I just pray for every person here, God, that You remind them of what You've done for them in their past. How You carried them through something, how You gave them a victory, how they overcame in You. And that we can totally, 100% depend on You. And Your reassuring love is always with us. Thank You, Father. Thank You that You are constant in a world that is always changing. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I leave, I just wanted to, our new secretary, she went a little crazy this banquet, and she printed a ton of prayer cards. And these are kids at the ministry with their faces, and they have magnets on the back. So I'm going to leave them in the back table. If you want to take a card or one or two and put them on your fridge and just remember to pray for them. It can be short, small prayers, but just that God would continue to watch over them and provide for them, because these kids are precious. And I've had the privilege to get to know them, and hearing their stories, it sometimes makes you just want to adopt them all. My neighbors who live across my street, they come over quite a bit. It's always like, can I have ice cream? But they said that, you know, their parents, they only have supper at 10 o'clock in the evening. And I'm like, what? Why don't you guys eat earlier? Oh, our mom and dad are always sleeping. I'm like, why are they always sleeping? You know, because they're often drunk or stayed out at bingo all night. So these kids have hard lives, but God is a good God. And even like He's steadfast for us, He's steadfast for them. And He's a constant Father for the fatherless. So I'll leave them in the back. If you want to pick one up to pray for these kids, I would appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.